the next case, which is Looper Maintenance Service versus Indianapolis Housing. Mr. Daniels.
May it please the court. My name is Attorney Dana Daniels. I represent Looper Maintenance Service Incorporated and Thomas Looper, who is here today with me. To get directly to the point, this matter comes before the court because we believe that in 1983, Judge Dillon followed Judge Mims' direction and ordered the City of Indianapolis and the Indianapolis Public Housing Authority to enter into a settlement agreement and a voluntary compliance plan with Looper Maintenance Services. After that time, the Indianapolis Public Housing Authority failed to follow through with matters in that settlement agreement and voluntary compliance plan. As a result, my client believes that they should be held in contempt of court, and that's why we're here today.
What court order can you identify that IPH has failed to comply with? I mean, aren't you actually challenging the failure to comply with the settlement agreement, which was a private contract between you and the IPH, rather than the failure to comply with any court order?
I believe it's an implied agreement between the City of Indianapolis and Mr. Looper. Judge Mim ordered these individuals into his chambers to settle the matter. Judge Mim was not the individual who signed the court order. Judge Dillon signed the court order. We believe the settlement agreement is, in fact, part of that court order.
Go ahead.
Okay. I don't believe there are any magical words that are necessary to imply that this is a court order. It simply can be inferred that it was. Judge Mims directed.
How can you infer that something is a court order? I'm having a problem.
Because he said, if
I order you to settle?
Yes. I order you to my chambers and I order you to resolve this matter. And that is what happened in 1983. Judge Mims is not here today. Judge Mims was an Illinois judge who came to the state of Indiana for that federal court hearing. After speaking with Judge Mims, Judge Dillon signed the order under advisement of what happened with Judge Mims.
And anywhere in that order does it say, having been ordered to settle this case, the parties hereby?
It doesn't specifically say that, but it says under the premises, which are the premises in which Judge Mims set out, directing both parties to go back and settle the matter. Therefore, we believe there's conditional retention that should be implied as a result of the court order that I believe, and Mr. Looper believes, was written out in 1983. With that retention of authority, we believe there is subject matter jurisdiction. Therefore, we believe that because the city of Indianapolis did not follow through what was put in the settlement agreement, there should be a contempt of court matter held in the federal district court in the Indianapolis division.
What about the agency, the other defendant?
They did exist at the time. What is your question, Your Honor?
I don't remember the name.
I think they've used a couple of different names.
One did you sue?
Originally in 1983 was...
No, I'm talking about... Well, it came in existence in 1985, or 95, I think.
Indianapolis Housing Authority.
Yeah. They think this is pretty frivolous and want sanctioned.
I don't believe that it's frivolous. My client doesn't believe it's frivolous. I believe it was an implied court order from Judge Mims and from his direct statements to both parties at the time that they needed to follow through with what was set out in the settlement agreement. The city of Indianapolis failed to do those things, and as a result, there should be a court order of sanctions against the city of Indianapolis for failure to allow Mr. Looper not to be involved in any of the bidding processes for the for his job, which is construction.
You want to save your other time for rebuttal?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. Who's first over here? Ms. Gridden?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Allison Wells Gritton, and I'm with the Consolidated City of Indianapolis Office of Corporation Counsel. As the Court has pointed out, the true issue here is enforcement of a settlement agreement. It is an appropriate action for a state court unless there is some specific basis for federal jurisdiction.
Does Looper have state court remedies that would still be available to enforce the terms of the settlement agreement?
Looper Maintenance did file a state court claim in 1998 on this action, and it was resolved in favor of the Indianapolis Housing Authority on a summary judgment motion.
Right. I'm aware of all this, but I'm asking, does it still have?
I believe a state court action would still be precluded by a res judicata doctrine.
Same thing you're alleging here.
Yes, Your Honor. The matter was heard and resolved but pursuant to summary judgment motions in state court. The issues addressed in the state court were the same as the ones that have been alleged here. In both instances, Looper Maintenance is alleging that the Indianapolis Housing Authority failed to give it notification of bid opportunities. Those are the same claims. It's the same factual situation, the summary judgment, and the parties were the same. The City of Indianapolis was present representing Indianapolis Housing Authority in both the state court action and here in this action. Likewise, the Indianapolis Housing Agency was represented in the state court action and is here today to speak to you as well. So I do believe the doctrine of res judicata would preclude a state court action as well as this action. Turning to the ancillary jurisdiction question, the dismissal order by Judge Dillon was very basic. It simply dismissed the case. It did not reference the settlement agreement. It did not attempt to incorporate the settlement agreement. It did not contain any substantive commands by the court for which Looper Maintenance could base its contempt action. It in no way expressed that it was retaining jurisdiction over this matter. The inference that Looper Maintenance suggests that the court make to tie the court's 1983 dismissal order and somehow state that it incorporates the settlement agreement without any references in that order to the settlement agreement is a leap that the courts have repeatedly refused to take. The United States Supreme Court has decided that issue, and this court had decided that issue. The Kekkonen case is directly on point. In that case, the court issued a very basic order, simply dismissing the action, just as Judge Dillon's order was very basic, dismiss the action. When the life insurance company filed a contempt action trying to enforce the settlement agreement, the Supreme Court held that the judge's mere awareness and approval of terms of a settlement agreement do not suffice to incorporate them into the order. The only order was that the suit be dismissed. That case is directly on point. Long before Kekkonen was decided, this court also recognized that settlement agreements are not comparable to a court order in H.K. Porter Company Incorporated. That case was a little different. The order entered by the judge actually did say it was incorporating the settlement agreement. Still, when attempted to be enforced pursuant to contempt action, this court held that the district court's order did not go beyond entering a judgment which merely approved the party's settlement, and that the order did not turn a contractual duty into a court-ordered command on which somebody could base an action for contempt. In this case, Looper Maintenance asked the court to enforce through its contempt powers a settlement agreement that was never approved or signed by the court and is not even mentioned in the 1983 order, much less incorporated. The courts have repeatedly struck down the inference argument asserted by Looper Maintenance today and the Kokanen case is directly on point. If there is not a deliberate retention of jurisdiction, the district court lacks jurisdiction to entertain a party's later attempt to enforce that settlement agreement, even if that settlement agreement resolved the previous litigation. Therefore, Looper Maintenance has no jurisdictional grounds to bring this action, as there is nothing on which he can base a claim for contempt. The City of Indianapolis simply requests that this court affirm the Honorable Judge Barker's dismissal of this matter, as there are is no jurisdiction, and Looper Maintenance has failed to state a command within a specific court order that this court could enforce. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Weirs? How do you pronounce your name?
Huris. Your Honor. Huris, yes. May it please the court, Will Huris on behalf of Indianapolis Housing Agency. For the sake of clarity, I would like to just affirm that the agency asserts that it is entitled to the same defenses as were briefed and as discussed by counsel, res judicata and the lack of jurisdiction. Frankly, the agency believes the inquiry ends there. We feel that's dispositive. And the district court should be affirmed in its ruling. There is, however, an additional argument available to the agency, and that is that it quite simply did not exist until 1995. Looper's petition in the district court below is based upon a settlement agreement from 1983, preceded our existence by 12 years. And we are, frankly, not a party to that contract, to that contractual agreement, yet we have been through a state court proceeding where we appeared and defended and got out on summary judgment. In district court, we appeared as a non-party, and we are referred to specifically by the district court as a non-party. Yet Looper, in its briefing, raised that as error for this court. But nowhere has there been an explanation to why the agency is a party to these proceedings or why it should have to continue to defend itself when it didn't exist until 12 years after the agreement that forms the basis of their claim.
What agency did you grow out of?
The agency used to be the Indianapolis Public Housing Authority. And then it was that way from 95 until 97. In 97, it simply became the Indianapolis Housing Agency.
And before 95?
Before 95, it was considered part of the City of Indianapolis, DMD, Department of Metropolitan Development. And if you'll notice, in their petition they filed in the district court, they bring their allegations, they speak to the City of Indianapolis /DMD in paragraph 6 of their petition in the district court below. And that was filed in 2002. So we had been the agency since 97 at the latest. So we have some year history there of it being obvious who we are and in fact who we are not. Unlike the city, we are not corporation counsel. We're a private law firm that the agency had to hire and pay to defend now for the third time on appeal.
Doesn't the agency have lawyers?
They have lawyers, but for whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, our law firm was retained in this matter and in others as well. The point was raised, the reason why we're seeking costs of this appeal is because Looper raised and said that it was error for the district court to provide that we were a non-party. Yet nowhere has there been any explanation or showing as to why we were a party to an agreement that preceded our existence by 12 years. Without questions, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Daniels, have anything to add?
You've heard from opposing counsel. The Indianapolis Housing Agency came out of existence from the Indianapolis Housing Authority. Therefore, whatever contracts, whatever settlement agreements, whatever legal matters that were addressed as a part of the Indianapolis Housing Authority are now the responsibility of the Indianapolis Housing Agency. That is why we continue to That is why Mr. Looper has continued to place them into their pleadings against their initial complaint, which was the Indianapolis Housing Authority. They no longer exist. Again, I would like to reiterate that due to Judge Mims' statements, due to the operative commands that were done in the settlement agreement, the City of Indianapolis, Indianapolis Housing Authority, whoever you want to call them, have failed to live up to their obligations. There should be a court-ordered sanctions against them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Case will be taken under advisement.